So welcome into the Drew Busney Show on... Feels like it got darker today than it did yesterday at this time, but that's me going crazy. But welcome into the Drew Busney Show. As always, I am your host, Drew Busney. We have one guest right now. He's Brody. And it's a good time to remind you that we are live on WRUC 89.7, the first station nation live from beautiful Union College in Schenectady, New York. We're also live right now on Instagram, YouTube, later today, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, everything you want, we are on. And it's also a great time to announce the Master Special coming away in April as we preview the best major in the world, the Masters Tournament. Let's talk about the championship games this past weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the NFC, and what a dominant rush game by Eagles. But I had a feeling it was coming because the runs by these teams, such as the Commanders, where they kind of prove everyone wrong, it always comes to a big hole, right. And it did. It reminded me a
lot of the Giants' run in 2022. Not saying that they're going to be terrible next year, because I don't think they are going to be, but it's kind of a situation where your defense outplays expectations because your offense is kind of carrying the load. It's the same thing the Giants did. They beat the Vikings 34-31. Like, that doesn't happen. You don't score that many points that often. And the Commanders' defense just isn't that good, plain and simple. Jaden Daniels was carrying the load, and eventually it caught up to them. As what happens in most sports, when you play teams that are better than you, eventually one week you slip in one area of the game. And the Eagles are such a complete team; they're not gonna let you make mistakes and not take advantage of
them. They are by far the most complete team, and the key word there is team. Around the Eagles, again and again, they talk about how they're the team. A lot of times, they talk about NFL players, and we talk about their quarterbacks. Right. We talk about Jaden Daniels. Right. Maybe we talk about Terry McLaurin. But the Eagles are a team. You can say that they're very complete in every aspect.
Right, and I think their defense doesn't get enough credit. I was looking at it the other day. Their stats, like the Legion of Boom, is held up as like the best defense in the modern era. And you look at their yards per game like allowed, and you compare the two teams, it's very similar. Like, the Eagles are on that level. They have that good of a defense.
And they're a rushing game. I know you're a Giants fan, but watching Saquon Barkley dominate in the playoffs must be terrible. Because you see these players, like, he never had the time to shine on the Giants. Really his first chance to really contend for a Super Bowl. And I didn't know if he would show up in the big time, and boy, he did.
Well, he's just a big-time player. I mean, the thing is for the Giants that they never were going to win with him anyway. So it was kind of a let him go, let him flourish. It sucks. I mean, the media has been shoving that narrative down my throat since the day he left. Like, I've seen a million posts with, like, Saquon Barkley and the clip of on Hard Knocks. But when you look at it from the Giants' perspective, it was the right move, unfortunately, as much as it sucks. Saquon Barkley is an amazing player. But he's only been so good because the Eagles are just, like, their O-line, Jalen Hurts, their weapons. Yeah. Like, you can't key in on just Saquon because they'll beat you in every other way. And he's just... You can't have an 8-man box like that against the Giants because they can pass the ball.
We have this debate a lot in our room about the need for a good offensive line.
Right.
And it goes back to our two teams, the Giants and the Patriots, respectively, that the first thing you have to do is get on line. And the Patriots this week have signed a lot of good, experienced coaches, one of them being an offensive line coach. And you can tell the difference between the Gerard Mayo administration or coaching system and Mike Vrabel is the Gerard Mayo coaches were these younger talents that you thought you could hone in on. And the Mike Vrabel one are these more experienced that have been head coaches and, you know, they kind of failed.
Right.
My problem with this is that what I see is that the Vrabel one's good because I'm less worried that our coaches can get poached.
Right.
But when you go the direction of hiring young coach after young coach, like Ben Johnson, like these other ones, is they get good and you leave them. And it's this constant ebb and flow of developing and losing. But I don't want to say the experience coaches are washed. They may be. But I'm more confident that the system can stay in place for longer because I think the older people have less tendency to chase the jobs.
I think I agree with you. But I think like the value of coaching in general is way overblown by the media. The way that an NFL coach works, like, they're all doing things, not similarly, but they're all have the same process. Their whole life is football. Like, all these coaches, all they do all day is watch film and tell their players how to get better. So I think, to a certain extent, it's how you mesh as a unit. And that's why the head coach is so important, because there's a million positional coaches. They're not all doing it wrong. They're all doing it right. It's just about how you can get your players to take that into games and not make the little mistakes, which I think brings it back to what you were saying about the older coaches. They're teaching more about how to win and less about, I don't want to say technique and like how to get better, but I think that's a a key philosophy difference between a lot of newer coaches and older coaches.
And it's not always, it's not 100% about the scheme and the formations they're going to run. A lot of times, and you hear this a lot in daily life, it's about their personality.
Right.
Dable, more of a hothead. Mayo was more of this, do I speak? Am I ever going to speak? Like, am I ever going to show emotion? Like, who am I? And so you hear that a lot. Great, they might bring in this West Coast offense, this offense of Drake May, but at the end of the day, Mike Vrabel has to have the personality that, like, this is my team, it's my direction. Robert Kraft is not behind me right. telling me what to do. I'm not a puppet, and, you know, Robert Kraft isn't moving
and
me
he'll
around.
Call him out for that. I think
exactly,
that's...
which is the accountability. We talk right. so much. We've heard so much in our lives about accountability.
Right.
And that's what this team needs, and that's what head coaches have to strive for, because they might have the best technique.
I think that transitions just perfectly into the AFC Championship game, because you look at the Chiefs. I mean, I watched most of the game, and the thing that stood out to me the most about that game was 100% the last two plays.
Exactly.
You watch the last two plays, the Chiefs made it look so easy. That third and three, maybe. Where the
genius
fake
play
handoff,
call, by the way. Genius play call.
I mean, you can't do it any better than that. They're calm, collected. Mahomes just knows how to run the offense. And I think that we've seen a lot about, there's Will, as we just transitioned.
As we say the Chiefs, and of course Will shows up.
But talking about that game, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the Chiefs. I mean, you watch their offense and their defense. They're just so solid in both aspects of the game. And if you want to talk about the refs, you can talk about the refs. But aside from that...
We're not talking about the refs.
But aside from that, it's just a complete game from both standpoints. I mean, they didn't force any turnovers. They just were the better team. And I think you've seen that throughout their playoff games in the past
three
years.
It's the coaching. It's more of they believe in Andy Reid. There's a chair next door if you need a chair, Will. There's a belief in the coach, too. I personally never believe in Jerod Mayo. I don't believe in Sean McDermott because he has the inability to get them over the hump that they need to get to. And you see it a lot in coaching. You saw it a lot with Bruce Cassidy for the Bruins, for instance. He was a great coach. It was Montgomery. Jim Montgomery. My mistake. He was a great coach. Great winning percentage in the regular season, but he couldn't get him over the hump in the playoffs. And at some time, the playoffs matter more.
Right.
And so is Sean McDermott the person that can get the Bills over the hump? He's failed maybe six times now.
Right, doesn't seem so.
But maybe you can say seven times the charm. We welcome Will here. Will, we're just talking about reaction. We talked about the character, the personality that coaches need. We talked about golf for a little bit. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Drew Busney Show. Now we're on the AFC Championship game. We talked about Saquon Barkley. We're just talking about the last two plays in the game, that play call. You have a reaction to it?
I guess we're not talking about the refs, so I won't talk about the refs. But
we know it's hard. You'll survive, I promise.
I think, all things considered, the Bills deserve to win that football game.
Why?
I think the Bills played a better football game than the Chiefs did.
Why?
Chiefs had a turnover. I think that... I guess Bill, you can argue Bills couldn't execute when they had to at the end, but I think he got the fourth down, so... I think he did.
He did get the fourth down. Every single person in the world saw it, but we're not talking about the refs.
Yeah. And I mean, I think actually, if you go back a play before, I think they got it on the third down. But at the end of the day, you got to feel bad for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
You really got to feel bad for Josh Allen.
I don't. And you want to know why I don't feel bad for Josh Allen? Because of advice
just,
I got when I was a kid.
Just because you're jealous of him.
I'm not jealous. The Bills,
like sexy
the Bills have not won. The Bills have not won anything in their life.
Yeah.
And it makes me really happy to see that they still haven't won anything in their life.
Yeah.
Like they haven't won up to this point. So why they should never win?
It's kind of the same reason I love watching Mahomes win all these Super Bowls, because I got two Patriots fans here and they know he's approaching Brady rapidly.
He's not. No.
You know he's not.
He had to in order to
and every game
get
he
past
wins in
Brady,
the playoffs.
He had to beat Brady
game,
and he lost to Brady
it's a game
twice.
Game closer he gets.
Yeah.
He could be on par with Brady, but he can never be passed.
He can pass him if he wins nine Super Bowls. He can pass.
You give him
now he's
win
10. He has to win 10 because he lost Brady twice.
No, no, that was in the championship.
Doesn't matter.
If he gets two more than Brady, then I think you can say he's better than Brady. I think that's fair. And he has to pass him in yards.
If he wins this year, what does he have, four?
If he wins this year, he has four. Brady had seven.
I mean, what is he, 28?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
You say that.
He's got a lot of football left in him. I don't know, man.
Teams don't stay good forever. I mean, even Patriots had dips.
I mean, literally no team ever has won 3 Super Bowls in a row.
It's
so
true. It's,
if you
it's
go
very
on
impressive.
Can we get our quick picks? Where's it going?
I think you are ridiculous. You are ridiculous if you put a majority of the credit of the Chiefs' success this season on Patrick Mahomes. You're ridiculous.
I think you give it to Andy Reid.
I think Andy Reid.
Steve Spagnuolo.
They had an excellent special teams. Mahomes has played great in the playoffs in the last couple games of the regular season, but he was terrible this year.
At the end of the day, the only thing that really matters in any sport is the playoffs.
I caution that take because they were 15-1. Like I feel like you want to stay away from quarterbacks as a win stat, but it is.
He
made the plays when it matters.
Let's go through.
I think you have to take that into account.
Let's go through a couple of the wins. Let's go through a couple of the wins. We got Raiders game.
Right.
There were a lot of free plays. There was an extremely high number of blocked field goals.
You're picking all the bad plays. There were still a lot of good plays before.
Let's list Patrick Mahomes' elite plays in the regular season. I'm waiting.
No.
Sure, there were a lot.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. I'm not saying he's the only reason they won.
I don't think he's the main reason.
No, but without him, they wouldn't be winning. He is a big factor in why they win.
You put Josh Allen on that football team, they're winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, Josh Allen. You put Jared Stidham,
Bailey
Zappi, or Mac Jones on that field, they are not winning.
They're losing 13 games.
If you put, I completely disagree with that, first of all.
They are.
The Broncos won 10 games this year with Bo Nix.
Yeah,
Bo Nix is good.
You put Bo Nix on the Chiefs, they'll probably go to the AFC Championship.
But we're talking about quarterbacks that are proven that they know how to win the league. Let's put it on the other extreme. Can Bailey Zappi win in a Chiefs uniform? No.
I think they would have won
9 games. You need above average quarterback to still win.
I think Bailey Zappi would have won 9 games.
Their starting running back was Kareem Hunt. Mahomes is the offense. I think that's what you're struggling to understand.
The offensive line is
the threat of Mahomes throwing the ball allows him to run the ball with not like their weapons are just not that great.
Can I just say one thing, dude?
Hollywood Brown
was injured the whole season.
Can I just announce that at 6:12 p.m. the Drew Buzzing Show went off the rails into complete chaos. Okay. Mahomes is a good quarterback.
I think he's a top 10 quarterback. Top 5.
You can't say
he's not a top 5. He's about to win 3 Super Bowls in a row.
Dude, look at his stats the past 3 seasons. I'll put him up.
Can I just ask that the whole world apologize to every New England Patriots fan for the treatment we got during our dynasty?
Yeah, seriously.
Can we just get an apology for that?
You know you prefer the Patriots dynasty.
Exactly.
Shit.
And first of all, we did not cheat. The refs were never on our side. In fact, the whole world hated us. And at the end, we lost came back from 20-3. So we did not have all the special treatment the Chiefs had. You guys are fools.
Okay, moving on.
Let's move on.
Who do we think is winning the Super Bowl?
Eagles.
I have to go.
Are you saying the Eagles because you think the Eagles are actually going to win, or because you hate the Chiefs?
Because I hate the Chiefs.
Okay.
Well, I think.
No, I don't know how the Chiefs are going to stop Saquon Barkley.
I think they're the one team in the league that has a chance of stopping Saquon Barkley. And I think that the way the Eagles win the game is not how they did it last year. You can't have a high-scoring passing the football game because they will lose. And that's the truth of the matter. If you let Mahomes, into a one-score game with the ball or the other way around, they're going to win. The Chiefs are going to win.
I actually kind of disagree with you. I think the way that you beat this Chiefs team, and I think Buffalo couldn't do it because they couldn't get their offense going, and the one time that they beat him, this is how they beat him, is you kick up the offensive engine in the 10th gear and you get up 2 scores and you just stay up 2 scores. You stop him once on defense
and
get up 2 scores.
No, I agree with that.
Because you can't get into a defensive battle. Then you're in a 1-score game and then they go down and score. That's how they've won every game this year.
I don't know, because if you're the Eagles, the strength of your team is the running game. If you want to just abandon that.
Well,
it's tough.
Also, the Eagles' running game is not like most teams' running game. Their explosive plays come from the run game.
I'm aware.
You can have an explosive offense.
We've had a great first 17 minutes of the show. We're going to take a quick 30-second break as we do some station identification. Thank you. and let's get right back into it. We spent 17 minutes on football as we're getting some comments
in. Yeah, we got a great comment. Strength of the Eagles is everything.
Yes, true. Fly, Eagles, fly. Excellent opinion from that wonderful woman that just commented.
But for the last few minutes of our show, let's shift to basketball.
Wait.
Yeah, you want one last comment?
Yes.
We have one more Patrick Mahomes comment. We'll allow it.
Patrick Mahomes over the last two seasons. This year he put up less than 4,000 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions.
Interesting. So we had a good comment. Actually, a really good comment.
Oh, okay.
Last season.
Wait. What would the box score need to look like for Patrick Mahomes for you to credit him being a good quarterback? What stats does he have to put up?
That's fair. I think Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, or for a season, what would I consider a good quarterback
season? Let's go for the Super Bowl, and then go for the season. Okay, just give us two answers.
Okay, and if we're talking about what I'm calling a good quarterback, is the quarterback is the majority of the reason that the team won the game.
Yes, exactly, yes, yes.
I think a perfect example is Patrick Mahomes' first season starting. He was absolutely elite. 5,000 passing yards, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I would even say this season he has 38 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I would even maybe even say this one, 41 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
And maybe.
That was only 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Those are all elite seasons. But Brady was putting up better numbers a lot of his years than he has.
Brady is the GOAT. Right. We all know that. That's not up for debate.
I think that a lot of your hatred of Patrick Mahomes is due to the fact that you don't want him to catch Brady. And you're pushing
not,
the narrative that he's not a winning quarterback.
All right, well,
I think the way that the NFL has put him as the golden boy is just ridiculous, dude.
It's the Mahomes era of the NFL right now.
It's the Chiefs era of the NFL. It's the Andy Reid era of the NFL.
Nice Taylor Swift comment, by the way, guys. Good job.
I think you can say it's the Mahomes era pretty confidently. He's won multiple MVPs and four championships.
I agree. Okay.
I think it's the Lamar era.
Okay, we're getting off the rails. Let's go to basketball.
For the game, I think 350 yards, 3 touchdowns is an elite quarterbacking game.
All right, lock it in. We'll see if he does that in 2 weeks' time. We'll be back here to see if Patrick Mahomes will finally get credit from Will. But let's go to the Celtics
and let's go to the NBA.
Public enemy number one based on last night, Dylan Brooks. Just want to put it out there. You know, for everyone that listens to the show, I have a vendetta against the Crafts. New vendetta, ranked higher than the Crafts, Dylan Brooks.
He's the worst.
I don't really know. I can't really say much about how I'm feeling about him because we're live on air and, you know, I know to constrain myself.
Unlike
some people.
Sitting to my right.
But I despise him. He's so annoying. He makes a shot and will yell at anyone he sees. He made 10 threes last night. Cool for him. But every single one, he had like a 5-minute dialogue about how cool he was, like to all the crowd. And
actually,
I was hating
I like players like that. I think you need one.
Not when you have one good game every week. Or one good game every four weeks.
The point is, like, even if he's playing like shit, he's going to come fucking talk to you.
But it's good for players that are actually good. He's not. He has nothing in his record to show him that he's able to do that. I compare him to Grant Williams. And you remember Grant Williams in the Celtics?
Yeah. He was
a bum.
Yeah, he was terrible.
He had the mentality that he was the star player. And he would yell at the refs over everything. Like, Grant Williams, you're not that good, dude. Like, you're really terrible. Like,
when I think if you look at the Celtics character now, like, it's taken a complete 180. I feel like our whole thing is we're respectful and
which is fine.
We don't
because
really talk that much.
If you're respectful 99% of the time, when you get angry, it means that they really messed up.
Speaking of things to look forward to.
Huge game.
Huge game. A week from Sunday?
February 8th, I believe. Week from Saturday. Celtics-Knicks.
Celtics, ABC, 7:30.
Should we lock it in? You want to go live during the game?
Yeah, we can go live.
Let's go live during the game. Okay. We'll lock it in.
The Knicks are a game back of the Celtics currently. They just blew out the Grizzlies by 40 points.
But it's the same mentality. I don't really care if the Celtics aren't the 1 or 2 seed. When push comes to shove in the playoffs, Celtics are going to win. Who really cares about the home court advantage? Like, we beat them in Dallas.
Yeah,
we lost 2 games last year. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as when June comes around, we're hot, that's really all that matters.
And
it's 82 games. Who cares if we're not playing well right now? Really doesn't matter.
I want to make the argument that the Knicks are the team that has the best chance to beat the Celtics in the playoffs.
All right, get off the show.
Based on our roster construction.
We do not have bad takes on the show.
Just putting that out there.
I'll give some concessions to the Kansas City Chiefs. I think teams figure out like when a team, we've talked about this before, when a team's winning in the playoffs, this is how dynasties start, is that gives you such an edge going against any opponent because you know you've done it before and the opponent knows that you've done it before. And so it's their responsibility to, like, prove, it's like dethroning the champion, yeah. Right? Like, it, you come in with this edge that, yeah, we did it last year, come beat us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that obviously the Chiefs have that right now. I think even the Eagles in the NFC kind of have it right now, where they were there 2 years ago. Like, yeah, they've done it. They know how to win in the
playoffs. Once you get over the hump. And I talked to my dad about this. It was a struggle to get over the hump for the Celtics.
Yeah.
It's almost like we felt like the Tatum Brown were going to be freer.
Yeah.
Like, there's less worry. Honestly, I enjoy watching games less because I always watch it because I'm like, okay, we need to win a championship this year. And now it's like, I don't really care about the regular season because at the end of the day,
the playoffs still matters.
Yeah, I mean, but, as a Knicks fan, definitely enjoy watching winning basketball during the regular season.
Until you lose the best. But we're reaching the end of our show, so while you pull up your flip picks for our new section, let's, we're halfway through the season. Let's talk about our mid-season MVPs.
NBA
and the NBA defense player.
I gotta lock in. I haven't really been following
my MVP much. Right now.
Jokic. Yeah,
I think it's without a doubt by far the best player.
He should go down top five, dude. If he continues.
Yeah, he needs some more championships.
We talked.
He doesn't really have the team around him to support him though.
Wow, which is even more impressive. And he's putting up.
Tatum's playing well. I don't really think
he's not going to be the MVP.
Two up and down. Offensive player of the year.
All right. I mean,
Wemby's doing really good.
Shea
could be MVP.
I got two picks for you.
But I don't know.
Maybe offensive player.
They're offensive player. All right, Will.
I got two picks.
Will, come closer. Take it away. Our brand new segment, Flip Picks with Will Brody.
So, our first pick of the day, it's going to be Los Angeles Lakers versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Just a disclaimer, reminder, this is with Flip coins, not real money.
It's not real gambling if you
I would take
coins.
Lakers minus 4.5 against the 76ers. It's an away game, but... The 76ers without Embiid and Paul George.
All right, give us one more pick, and then we'll hear one from Will and one of the day.
And then I kind of like the Hawks plus 5.5 at home against the Rockets coming off a back-to-back against the Celtics. I think that's a tough matchup. They're traveling to Atlanta. Atlanta's 8-1 against the Knicks, Celtics, and Cavs this year. They play well against good teams.
That's a good pick.
I like that pick as well.
My pick is going to be Eagles plus 100 against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm going to parlay that pick. With they have not posted player props yet, but pretty much just take every Eagles over and every Chiefs under and you'll be good.
Well, perfect. Thank you for your picks. Again, if you bet on those and they don't hit, it's not our fault. And remember, we'll use flip coins, don't use real money. Flip coins only.
We don't have any credentials.
We've only credentials. We're just lonely college students. But thank you for tuning in. I'll be with you on Thursday for our shorter pop-up show. Remember, only on our podcast platforms, live at 7:30. For Will, Brody, Drew, we thank you very much for joining. Have a good weekend. Talk about the Super Bowl next week. A lot more to talk about. We're kind of in the dead season of sports, but...
Oh, Drake May's a Pro Bowler.
Drake May's a Pro Bowler. Spring training's coming up, so we'll talk about the Red Sox. Talk about
I'm
the Yankees
to talk
coming
about
up. But thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you all next week.
Peace.
Death to the Chiefs.